Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stephen. Lovely to be here.
Thank you. For many years, John Cowder has been well known in the Australian art scene. But what was it that inspired your interest in making a documentary about his career as an art philanthropist?
Well, look, I think there's many things that were inspiring about coming to make this documentary, not least of which was the Christo's 1969 mapping of Little Bay coastline, which I think really put Australia on the map in terms of contemporary art, because it was the world's biggest land art project at the time. I think it was 1 million square feet of fabric covering the coast. And some of the imagery that goes along with that was just extraordinary. But then when you start to look at the decades of work that John Cowder's done and the different artists he's brought and the cultural impact that it's had on artists. So I think it felt timely as well. John Cowder, which I didn't know when we started the project, has had commissioned Michael Landy to create a 50th retrospective exhibition. And so in a way, Michael and I were on a similar journey in that we were looking at John Cowder's public art project archives and thinking about how to recreate 50 years of ephemeral site-specific works and how you can tell that story.
The getting the title to describe any sort of conceptual art is always a challenge. The film's called It Started With a Stale Sandwich. I was wondering, what is the genesis of that title?
Well, it's actually one day I saw John Cowder and we'd been filming for a little while and he was trying to find a title for the 50th retrospective exhibition that he's having at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And he said to me, oh, yeah, I gave them a title, It All Started With a Stale Sandwich, but they didn't like it. And I said, but John, why that title? And he said, well, that's how it really did start. I went to Christo's studio in New York in 1968 and they were young, kind of impoverished artists and all they had was stale bread and they gave me a stale sandwich and this is how it started. So that unlikely title is where it came from. And he says it in the film too.
So this is the first of John Cowder's projects as a young man. Is this being a facilitator for Christo and Jean-Claude's The Rap Coast with over 1 million square metres of Little Bay covered? What was it like getting John and Christo to reflect on what would be, you know, really one of the first major public art endeavours in the country?
Well, I think it was an adventure, just going back and exploring how that work came to be and also how many different people outside of John and Christo it influenced. So both completely changed Cowder's and Christo's practice as an artist. But what I hadn't, how many other people's lives it had changed. So there were young people working on that project, architectural students amongst them, and two key artists, Imanz Tillers and Ian Bliss, who were 18 and 19 at the time, then kind of went on to have significant art practices and become connected to Christo. And then, so there were just hundreds of people connected to that first work that had had so much impact. So it was really fascinating to see how people have stories. That was really something very unexpected for me.
John Cowder is interested in modern contemporary art, which, you know, in the 60s and 70s in Australia probably wasn't appreciated by our cultural institutions. So with these public art projects, how do you think John Cowder influenced the Australian visual and performance art scene?
Oh, I think he had a profound impact on it because, as you say, I mean, when they brought the Wrapped Coast or the Packed Coast to Sydney, I mean, it was vilified. There was press that ridiculed it. There were church leaders who were decrying it. And I think John was so passionate about that project that he saw it through. And when he saw that it was possible, I think he saw that it was important to carry on doing it, which is then he brought Gilbert and George out and Charlotte Moorman and Nam June Paik. But as importantly, I think young artists here also saw that they could be connected to the contemporary art scene on a global level, and that changed their practice. Yeah, so I think it was a really sort of symbiotic thing.
I mean, if you look back to John's childhood too, he arrived at Australia at age 13, his parents having fled communist Hungary.
Yes.
How much do you think that experience of being forced to flee his home influenced the passion for art and the idea of, you know, providing all this support for public art?
Look, I think that's a multi-pronged question. I think John himself has spoken about the time that his family were in Paris as refugees waiting to find out which country would provide refuge for them. And he said at that time, instead of going to school, his mother took him to all of the art galleries and all of the museums, and it really affected him. And she had said, look, maybe we'll never come back. We'll never have the opportunity to see this work again. And I think that really did have an enormous impact on him as a young person and really instilled in him a couple of things. One, a love of art and a passion for art, but also the sense of how valuable public art is for people, because it can provide inspiration for their everyday lives when things can be difficult. I think when he came to Australia, over time, he wanted to give back something to this country, and he felt that his way was through cultural philanthropy.
And in this documentary, you talk to a range of the conceptual artists that have worked with him for 30 plus years.
Yes.
So this would include Jeff Koons, Papi, Nam June Park, more recently Jonathan Jones's Skin and Bones.
Yes.
Out of all these sort of historically conceptual artists, must have been highly stimulating. What was the most fascinating aspects that you find that you sort of were drawn out of the sort of documentary, talking to this sort of really, you know, this wealth of talent?
Oh, gosh, that's such a hard question, because they were all fascinating, and it was all, they had so many wonderful and strange stories. I think the thing that came across, because I spoke to such a wide range of ages, so from my oldest interviewee was 94, and then obviously much younger end of the spectrum, you know, artists who are in their 20s, what is apparent is what a kind of life-giving force creative practice is. So I think what you see is that artists are enlivened by their practice, and that those people who in their 90s still involved in the arts had lively minds, had creative minds. The second thing is that it's really important to be given the opportunity to say something in a site-specific work, and that the John Cowdell projects are one of the few places artists, contemporary artists, can do that without bureaucracy.
Now, some of the artists involved, like Sol DeWitt, have passed away.
Yes.
Did you get much archival footage from some of these different projects as they were being created to sort of put into the narrative of the documentary?
I did. Look, I mean, I think it's no small task having to try and tell 50 years of something that doesn't exist anymore, and then in some cases artists that are no longer with us. And so it would be a kind of gargantuan task to include every single artist and tell a story about every single one. But we did unearth some archival footage that hasn't been seen before, not of Sol DeWitt, but of Charlotte Moorman. And I think the thing that was fascinating was there are so many oral histories about the artists or about the works, and that's something that we really focused on, was finding the stories attached to works.
And John Cowdell's generally been sort of behind the scenes and generally quite a private person, doesn't really want to blow his own trumpet. Was it difficult getting him to sort of open up about his life, or did he just want to talk about, was he so passionate about the art that
Look,
basically
sort of
avenue you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that brings John alive is the relationships that he has with the artists. And so I really focused on that, because that's something that's really special. He really does have these wonderful, special relationships with artists, and they are genuine and heartfelt, and that's something that's wonderful to encounter. So I really focused on that, because he is a private person, and this was a film about public art. So of course there is some of his life story in it, and he's kind of the protagonist in it, but it's a lot about the relationships past and present and even future that he has.